Matthew. By the way, school's off Friday. Last day's Friday, and the kids are excited. Man, they can't wait, and the teachers can't wait either. The last few weeks, man, they have had the heebie-jeebies, man. They knew school was coming to an end, and man, I'm telling you, they were just like we were when we could. School is out, and they can't wait, you know. And we're kind of glad they're getting out. Amen. And we're glad you're. By the way, now I'll be preaching June 1st. We'll be kicking off. Let's Rise Up and Build. And I'll be sharing with you from Nehemiah. I have some banners being. As a matter of fact, I'll be going up next week to Toledo, Ohio, one or 2 days. And I'll be getting some stuff. I've got a man in Perry's church making them for us. We get them real cheap and real good. He's a professional man that does them. And as most of you know, the man that we thought was going to purchase our building decided not to purchase it. And so we have not put it up for on the block yet, but there was always another man. There was another preacher that always told me, if that fellow doesn't buy it, let me know. And I just put a phone call to him one day last week and said, for what it's worth, he didn't buy it. And we were going to put it up for $650, but by the way, I told the one man $500. I said, but we'd let it go for $550 for you because I told you. But if we put it on the market, it's going to be $650. They came and we didn't sign no papers or nothing, but they're willing to pay us the $550,000. He's got to get his financing in order. But before we do anything, I would always bring it to the church first. You know, but I'm trying to keep you abreast of what's going on. You say, what are you going to do, preacher? We're going to go out there and build a building. I'm going out there. I'm going out there where God gave me the land. Now, I know there's going to be some that don't want to go out there. I can't change that. But I'm going out. That's where God told me to go. And I'm taking this ship out there because that's where the Lord told us to go. Amen. And if he didn't want us, why would he give us the 30 acres out there? And so, but we're not gonna borrow one penny. I'm gonna show you it's got all the way, because God's gonna provide all the money for us. Amen. Amen? And of course, the selling of this building, we owe nothing on this building, and so all the proceeds from this building will be used towards to build our new building. Amen. Amen. And of course, we have the mortgage with downtown for around $200,000. That would have to be paid off because they've got this included on it. But they have all our properties. But one step at a time, and I'm not going to get ahead of Jesus. I'm just going to let him take me one step at a time, amen? But you're going to have some faith. And I think the Lord's going to test us to see if we trust him. I do trust him. Amen. There's a difference between faith and foolishness. And sometimes people think faith pretty almost borders on foolishness. But as the Bible says, to be still and know God. And if you'll be still and know God, you'll know when it's God. And for 18 years, I've led this church. And if you think I don't have an investment in my life here, I think I've got as much investment in my life here as anyone in this building. And I would never do anything to harm our church. Amen? Amen. But I know that the Lord wants us to have a new building someday. We're going to have a new Christian school. We got things in the workings. And let's hope it all comes together. We don't have to hope. Just wait on it. It's going to come together. It's just a matter of when God puts it all, the timing. Amen? And Brother Mark, as long as we wait on him, we don't get ahead of God, we'll be all right. Just one step at a time. Amen? All righty. Look at Matthew chapter 14. I want to talk to you about the importance of the ship. The importance of the ship. Now, tonight I'm going to relate that Jesus in this passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew. Boy, it's already 20 minutes of 8. Wow. Man. In this passage of Scripture, in Mark chapter 14, this is where Jesus tells them that they were out, they were on the hillside feeding the 5,000. They were ministering to people. And then he said, let's go to the other side. And he told the men to get in, the disciples to get in the ship and to cross over to the other side. Amen? Let's stand for, I'll just read a couple scriptures. And I was going to read all the way to verse 33, but I think I'm just going to wait on that. Let me just read verse 22, and then we'll go from there. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. He knows who are his. The Bible says that God knows who are his. And Jesus, those who are his will know him as Savior, have trusted him as Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to get into that ship. And tonight, Brother Mark, I'm going to preach about that ship, and we're going to compare that ship to the local church. Amen? So we're going to make like a little spiritual analogy of the ship and the local church. How important this church is to you, okay? And so he constrained them to get in the ship and to go before him and the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. By the way, Christians have problems too. Were they in God's will? But they still were in a storm, were they? Churches will go through storms. Christian people will go through storms. Even though we're not of the world no more, we still live in it. And we're susceptible to all the things the world has. But praise God, our sins are forgiven. Amen? And we're on our way to heaven. And the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came, went unto them, walking on the sea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious word of God. Tonight I want to be a blessing to my people. And Father, help them to listen carefully and to take in. Holy Spirit, teach us tonight the truth about the importance of the church. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to give you eight truths tonight, real quickly. Eight truths about the importance of being in the ship. Number one, if you look at verse 22, the ship was a place of rest for the weary servant. We didn't read it, but above verse 22, they were out feeding the 5,000, ministering to people, helping the sick, helping the lame. And Brother Mark, Jesus said, come here. Let's get apart. Let's come out. We're done with that right now. Get into the ship. We're going to go to the other side. And so the ship was a place of rest for the weary servant because, Ruthie, Jesus got his people away so he could rest. It's good that Christians rest once in a while. Sometimes you can be too busy. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes you can be too busy and really not focus on what really is important. And sometimes we major on the minors and minor on the majors. We ought to major on the majors and minor on the minors. And the major in your life is your home and your family. That should be one of your major things in your life is your family. And I mean that from my heart. Brother Mark, I used him as an illustration a few weeks ago. His mom and dad came in, and he said, Preacher, I won't be able to come to visitation. I was going to go, but I said, no, you go with your mom and dad. That's a great place. You need to be with your family once in a while. They live out of town. You never get to see them. You be with your parents. I wish I had if my mom and dad were still here, I would stop. I don't care if I was, I'd say, oh, you take over. I'm going to be with my mom and dad. And you lose your mom and dad, then you see how important your mom and dad really are. So I remember one day little Eddie was doing something, and I said, he had to make a choice. I said, you be with your, you forget that youth activity, you be with your grandpa. I said, you always have teenagers, your grandpa won't always be here. Now, that doesn't mean you stop every time, but you know what, look up here. You know what the trouble is sometimes? We get so uppy, like we're so godly, and that we want to put a thing on in front of people, and we fail our own families. That's why a prophet don't have no honor in his own home, because they see us like we really are. Hello? Yeah, we ought to love our families. We ought to treat them better than we treat the outsiders. We ought to be more concerned for them than we are concerned for the others. I think by the way, you know I preach, oh, I always care about others. And inside that other should be our family. And so the ship was, number one, the ship was a place for rest and for the weary servant. In the ship, the disciple found rest from all the world, from all the worldly cares. You know, we come to a church And I'm glad. Isn't it great? I'll be honest with you. I didn't get to come Sunday. It was horrible not being in church. I love being in church. My church is my life. When you say, oh, you're a preacher. Before I was a preacher, it still was my life after I got saved. And I love, even if we miss a Wednesday, like when we had to cancel some services last winter during the snow and stuff, it seemed like, man, this ain't right. We're home. We should be in church. How many of you ever felt that way? This church is a place where you can come and just relax and forget about your bills and forget about some of your problems for a while. Forget about the people in the world and all the problems of the world and just come and say, Lord, just let's minister to my heart. And Lord, let me worship you and you just speak to me right now, Father. The ship is a place for the weary servant. Can anyone say amen? Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you come to the church, you get away from all the worldly things that bring you down. Remember that. It's a good place. Even when you don't feel good. I've been to church when I didn't feel good, but when I came out, I said, man, am I glad I went. I didn't feel good, but man, I feel better now than if I had stayed home. Isn't that amazing? I probably shared this with years ago. Years ago, as a young kid preacher, I was just in my 20s. I was booked to preach at this fellow's church over in Harmony Baptist Church, I think it was called. As a kid in my 20s, and I wasn't pastoring yet, and I preached in different churches as a sub-pastor, or people actually brought me in for revivals and stuff. And this preacher liked me, and he booked me for a Sunday night. And I had a fever about 103. I mean, I was sick. I mean, I was sick. And I called him in the afternoon, and I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. I said, I'm in bed, and I'm just... And he said, preacher, no, you're coming. He said, I told my church you were coming. They're excited about you coming. I said, all right. I said, I'll try to do it. I said, I don't know if I can even stand up, but maybe I can preach from a chair. But you know, I got there, and I started sweating but you know what? After I kept preaching, I got well. I gave the invitation, and every person came forward, including the pastor. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And so it's good. A church is a place where you can come and get, even though you're not feeling well, you can get well sometimes. Amen? But it's a place you can just you get past those. Forget about the outside. We got all time to mess with that. Just come in and say, Lord, just squeeze me, hug me for a while. Amen? Number two, the ship was a place of God's command. Look at verse 22. He said, Jesus constrained his disciples. In other words, he said, get in there. I want you in that ship. I want you in that church. Jesus said, don't turn 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. On the first day of the week, as you, all you churches, you gather together. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And he's talking about the offering there, but he says, I want you to gather on the first day of the week. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. God says, I want you to be together every time the church doors are open. I want you to be there. Annie Saylor said something that touched my heart today. She said, preacher, I've not been feeling good. I've not been coming on Wednesdays. And she says, God told me I need to start being there on Wednesdays. And she says, I don't care. I'm coming out on Wednesdays. I've been missing it. And she says, I need to be there. I said, amen, Annie. And she says, I'm going to start going. I said, I miss those Wednesdays. And I said, well, good. We'll be glad to have you, you know. And so every church, every time the doors open, unless you're hindered, come to church. It's a good place to be. It's where God ordained us to be. Can anyone say amen? The Lord knows that the church is a place for us to be and that he wants us to be. And by the way, I just noted this. Did you notice inside that ship, he constrained them to come? How many captains were there? One captain, Jesus. Yeah, are you with me? On a ship, there's a captain, right? And the captain kind of runs where the ship goes, right? Jesus got a captain for each church. It's called the pastor. And so a lot of times people get mad at the pastor and say, well, if I was running that ship, I'd run a different. I wonder why. That's why God's got maybe the preacher at that particular place, because he knows where he don't want to run the ship aground. And then sometimes people get mad because they don't get their own way. And I kind of thought of like doctor fees in 3 John verse 9. He wanted the preeminence of the church. Sometimes there's a power struggle. By the way, I've never had power struggle in this church. So don't say, who's preacher? This church has always, Brother Jack, this church has never been a power struggle to me. I've never had a fight with people about the leadership of this church. I'm blessed. And I think it's why God blessed this church, because that's what's, but there's people from the outside, when they don't understand, they want to tell you what to do and how to run it and the old liberal ways, and they don't understand how God's got a man to run the ship. Amen? And he wants his people in that ship every time the ship's out sailing. Amen? Number three, the ship was the means for their journey. Oh, I like that. The ship was going to help them get to the other side. Now, it was the captain that got them there, Jesus. He's the captain of our souls, the bishop. Are you with me? But we're, Betty, we're journeying, aren't we? Brother Steve, we're just journeying through this life. Brother Freddie, by the way, Freddie had the bus people inspect our buses, and they almost got through, just a couple little things, and we're going to get them through. Amen? First time in a long time. Amen? But probably the rapture happened now. That's right with me. But the Lord has given us the church to help our life. The Lord's given us the help our honor. What has God put for the Christian to help on their life's journey? The local church. The local church is here to love you and to take care of you and to watch over you and encourage you and to build you up and you're to grow in grace and you're to serve and you're to have fellowship. That's what the local church is for. And Brother Mark, you and I, we're in the ship. We're on our way to heaven, but it's helping us cross over to the other side. Do you ever see people outside of the church? Their life is shattered. You'll talk to people and say, boy, I was out of church a long time. I'm glad I got back. There was a man years ago who used to sing a song, Wasted Years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. And he'd go on. All his life, he was saved, but he didn't serve God. And he was away from, out of church. And, you know, look, I'm going to tell you something. Stay in church. Stay in church. It's the best way to get, now the church don't get you to heaven. I understand that. Christ does. But I'll tell you one thing. It helps us on our journey going there. Amen. And so the church is a place to grow and to serve, and it helps us on our life's journey. Number four, verse 33. The ship was a place for worship and fellowship. Did you know, look at verse 33? They went in the ship. Then they that were in the ship came, and what did they do? They worshiped. How many see that? Verse 33. And of the truth, thou art the Son of God. The ship was a place of worship and fellowship. And inside the ship, the disciples could fellowship with one another and help one another. Mike, we're with other Christians. It's a good time, isn't it? Acts 2:42 said that they fellowship one with another. And the church is a place where you go and you have, did you know we have stronger bonds in most cases with your church membership than you do your family? Do you know I'm with you way more? I've got a sister that lives in Toledo. I've got a brother that lives in Michigan. And I'm with you way more times than I'm ever with them. Are you with me? The church actually becomes another family. That's why we call it our church family. Amen? And inside this church, we can share one another's burdens. We can encourage one another. And we can be a blessing to one another. And that's so important. What I'm trying to say, the church is so important. And so number three, it was a means for to help us on our life's journey. Number four, it's a place of worship and fellowship. Number five, in verse 24, the ship was a place of safety. The ship was a place of safety. As long as they stayed inside the ship, they were protected from the winds and waves. You know, it gets rocky. It does. It gets rocky inside the church sometimes. Our lives are torn. I mean that. And yet, I'm going to tell you, you're better off, even when you're torn, to stay in the ship than jump out of the ship. I mean, hey, the waves were still coming in that ship, Brother Bob. The wind was still blowing. They still felt the wind. They still felt the waves. But I'm going to tell you, they didn't go under. They didn't sink.
That's right.
They weathered the storm, those that stayed in the ship. It's the Christian that jumps out of the ship. That's the one that gets caught up in the waves. That's the one that gets caught up in the wind. That's the one that gets pushed back in the undercurrent. How many Christians do you know that used to be real faithful in church and all of a sudden they got mad or they got hurt? And I don't want people to be mad. I don't want to get people to get hurt, because I want people to stay in the ship, not get out of the ship. I don't want them to leave the church. I want them to stay in the church. But how many of you, because I pastored for 28 years, I know I've seen hundreds of people. I've seen all kinds of your lives. I've seen other churches, people, because I'm in another church. I have other preachers. I know a lot of their families. Like there's one man that came back. I'll just say his name. His name is, with Brother Perry, his name is Brother Wilson. And he was there years, and then they left. And when I went back and preached, they were back. And we went out to eat together, and he was like, oh, they're good people. Live up in Swanton, Ohio. And he hugged me. I said, boy, Brother Wilson, I'm just so glad you and your wife are back. He's a good man. He said, preacher, I'm so glad we're back. He said, we were wrong to leave. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, while we're out there, it was a whole lot rougher outside than when we were inside. And by the way, when you get away from the Bible, get away from the preaching, get away from the Christian, so things that we say we would never do, we do. Things we say that we'd never say, we say. Places we say we'd never go, we do. How many are with me? I'm going to tell you, and boy, they were smart to stay in the ship. Because the ship, the church, protected them. Although they still had some of the weather conditions, they didn't drown. Because they stayed in the ship. Can I say this to you? No matter how hard it gets with you, don't leave the ship. Amen. You're better inside than you will be outside. Amen? Amen? And then number six, the ship was a place of laboring. can you imagine all those people rowing together? Together, everyone accomplishes much, a team. Teamwork. Everyone rowing. Rowing that ship to the row. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. One teamwork. See, the ship was a place of laboring. We need to labor in this church. We need to serve and to soul win and the witness and to give and to pray and to work. Amen. It's a collective. All of us working together, doing what we can. Not everybody can do the same things. Some of our seniors, they can't run down the streets knocking on doors. They can't be doing some stuff, but they can pray. Coming up in June, we're going to be doing the, what? Tell me again. Yeah, seed. Thank you. Seed line. When you get old, you start getting Alzheimer's. I'm like Roy Thompson. I don't have no trouble knowing you I first met. It's the guy that I met 5 years ago. No, I know the guy 5 years ago. I just can't remember who the guy I met today. Anyways... The ship was a place of laboring. You know, it's people, and people facing the storm, working together, going through life together, working together. Amen? What a great place. All God's people working together. Number seven, the ship was a place that the voice of God was heard. Verse 27. Jesus said, Jesus spake, be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid. Aren't you glad in the ship God speaks to us? Aren't you glad when you come to church Sunday, you hear the word of God preached and God speaks to your heart? They said Brother David had that wooden cross here last Sunday. I get people. I've heard such a great reports. They said as he nailed that in and did, they said it was so moving. Annie Sather and Tom was telling me how moving it was, and Brother Cooley's and the other ones were telling me how moving it was. And aren't you glad God speaks to us through God's man? Amen. And so, see, if you wouldn't have been here, if you wouldn't have been in the ship Sunday, you would have missed it. Are you with me? See how important it is to be inside the ship? Be inside the church, because that Sunday or that service you miss might be the very one that you need the most. And then lastly, I did this, I can't believe it, in 20 minutes. No, it's because I didn't do a lot of stuff. I just, the ship was number, the ship was a place. By the way, yeah, the seven, the place where the voice of God was. Too many, it's sad, Brother Jack, there's a lot of churches, people who every week, and they never hear the Lord speak to them. God help all the dead churches in America. God help all the dead pastors in America. God help all the dead Sunday school teachers in America. God help all the bus workers in America. Because dead churches are sending people to hell. We need to get live churches with the filled with the Spirit of God, with the love of God. So when people come in, they can say, man, I can sense God here. I can sense His love here. I can sense the love with the people. Amen? And that's when God speaks. God speaks to His people. And you got to be in a place where God speaks. And I'm glad this is a place where God speaks. Amen? Amen. And then lastly, the ship, it brought him over to the other side. Amen. Number 8. You know, I know we're going to have Ruthie, we got a lot of ups and downs in this life. But I'm going to tell you something. One day, our ship's going to land on heaven's shore. They brought that ship over into a haven of rest. Are you with me? And one day our ship, the old ship Zion, will go to the haven of rest, won't it? And stay inside the ship. It's really important. Let me read those 18. I quit. It's 8 o'clock, so I did pretty good. Let me give you the eight of them one more time. I thought they were pretty good. The importance of the ship. Number 1, the ship was a place of rest for the weary servant. Number 2, the ship was a place of God's command. He commands His people to be there. Number 3, the ship was a means for their journey. Ship was going to help them get over to the other side. By the way, in that number 3, I was going to turn to Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. Talks about the edifying till we all become together in the unity of Christ. Ephesians 11 through 14. And then number 4, the ship was a place of worship and fellowship. Number 5, the ship was a place of safety. Number 6, the ship was a place of laboring. Number 7, the ship was a place of the voice of God was heard. And number 8, the ship brought them over to the other side of the haven of rest. And I'm glad for the local church. I'm glad that God gave us the ship to be in. Amen. All aboard. The Master calleth, all aboard. And so what I want to say to you tonight is, let's just tell everybody to get on the ship, to come to Jesus, and to get on board. Because Jesus is taking everyone to heaven. And those that get on board His ship, they make it to heaven. Those that don't get on His ship, they don't make it. They die and go to hell. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, before we leave this evening, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know if I've asked Christ to save me. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. May put him down. Is there anyone tonight that say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that this evening? I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. I would like all my sins forgiven. I would like to take Jesus as my Savior. He'll accept you. All you got to do is accept Him. Today, is there anyone say, Preacher, I'd like to accept Christ as my Savior? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Anyone like that tonight? I'd like to accept Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. Just raise. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray. Anyone like that this evening? Pastor, pray for me. I'd like to accept Christ as my Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray for these folk. And Lord, I pray for my Christians. Lord, every hand said they were saved, I could see. There might have been some, but it looked like most hands went up. Father, I pray for the Christians. There might be some that, Lord, are in a storm right now. Lord, I know there's some in a storm, and I pray that You'd help them. Lord, help them that are in a storm. Lord, help them to weather the storm and help them to hold on to You and look to You and to trust You. Help them, Father, do something special this week to encourage their life. Help them not to give up. Help them not to forsake You. And Lord, help them to know that You're with them. You're never going to forsake them. Lord, bless everyone here tonight. Bless them as they go home, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're dismissed.